This is KJZZ, your news and information station in Phoenix and across Arizona. I'm Tiara Vian, and here are this week's stories you don't want to miss. This is the podcast that's designed to catch you up on some highlights from around the region. Thanks for listening. Here are a few of the stories for the week of June 8, 2026. A new state budget passed out of the Arizona legislature Thursday night with support from most Republican and Democratic lawmakers. Wayne Schutzke reports.
Nearly every Republican lawmaker voted for the budget deal, which includes state-level tax breaks mirroring most of the cuts backed by President Trump last year. House Speaker Steve Montenegro called that a win after Republicans tried to pass those cuts multiple times earlier this year, but were met by Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs' veto stamp.
$1.4 billion. That's historic. It's meaningful money for Arizonans.
Most Democrats also voted for the budget and praised the tax relief included for middle-class Arizonans. They also touted a pause on tax breaks for data centers and funding to offset the impact of Republican-backed changes to Medicaid and federal food assistance. But some Democrats voted against the spending plan, saying it spent too much on border and immigration issues while neglecting public schools and higher education. Wayne Schutzke, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
In water news, Colorado River experts were in Washington, D.C. Wednesday to speak with senators about the state of the region's water crisis. As Alex Hager reports, the water supply is shrinking and state officials are running out of time to issue a new plan for the river.
The Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, which includes Arizona's Ruben Gallego, heard from federal water managers. Andrea Travnik with the Bureau of Reclamation says she'd prefer that state leaders agree on a plan for sharing the Colorado River. But
if they can't move their stakes to get closer, we are going to have to make the decision, and the federal government is prepared to do that.
The feds are likely to get sued by the states if they move forward with their own rules. The deadline for a new plan is about a couple months away, and states are letting that messy court battle get closer to reality. Alex Hager, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
And this is the Stories You Don't Want to Miss podcast. Thanks for listening.
Rio Salado College, in partnership with ASU and Penn State University, is offering a free 12-week semiconductor manufacturing training. The next session begins August 24th. More information at riosalado.edu/veterantraining.
In business news, a job scam might start as an inconspicuous posting with work requirements, hours, and pay rate. As Lily Roseborough reports, technology and AI can add frustration to those looking for work.
I looked him up on his company, and he had a profile and everything. And then as we got into it, he said, "Well, we're gonna get you a laptop to work from for our company." I was like, "Okay, that's fine."
Jeff Bump is a video and graphic designer living in Phoenix and was looking for remote design work online when he was finally offered a remote position in spring 2026.
And then he was like, take this picture that I scanned of a check and put it into your account.
Bump's experience was not an unusual one. After going through an interview process and being hired, fraudulent companies will often send candidates a check to pay for remote work equipment. Unpredictability in the workforce has spiked the popularity of online job boards. This comes with an increase in scams targeted at job seekers. Platforms like LinkedIn and Indeed have built-in fraud detection software that acts as a defense to scammers, but many slip through the cracks. LinkedIn says its defenses stopped 97% of fake accounts in 2025. Once cashed through a mobile app or ATM, the checks from these employers show up in the candidate's bank accounts and bounce, putting the victim at a financial loss. A study conducted by Dynata found that on average, victims lost $8,900 due to job scams.
Kind of had to work my way back, into the workforce and take a little time. And, unfortunately, the economy hasn't been exactly easy.
Scammers often impersonate real businesses and organizations to fly under the radar, like in Bump's case. Lois Greisman, Associate Director of Marketing Practices at the Federal Trade Commission, says this practice can do significant harm.
Impersonation of government or businesses is the number one complaint to the Federal Trade Commission, and it has been for years.
Scam postings on online job boards may have the names of real businesses, employees, or available positions, making them hard to differentiate.
You're taking advantage of people who are already kind of having a tough time. You know, people are looking for work, and it's pretty tight out there. Everybody knows that. Why are you trying to scam people who are already struggling?
Developments in AI technology have allowed scammers to use people's faces and voices to trick online job seekers. Greisman said a seemingly real phone call or online interview could be completely artificial.
We don't know if the voice calling you is a real voice or not a real voice. My team here cloned my voice with my permission, and they didn't get it directly from me. They just went online and found a recording of my voice, and it was darn good.
Program associate with the Aspen Institute's Financial Security Program, Lila Berra, said improvements in AI technology have effectively streamlined scam operations.
And then also, because of AI being a more effective way for outreach, it actually does have an impact on like the human labor part of like the scam operation. So which means that if AI tools can make outreach quicker, easier, faster for these criminal organizations to victims.
Another way is to report suspicious offers to law enforcement agencies such as the FTC.
That is our goal. Shut down the operation if it is permeated with fraud, and preserve assets so that we can provide some monetary relief back to harmed consumers.
Major red flags to look out for include a company requesting upfront payments or personal bank information. Do not accept any checks from a prospective employer and beware of offers with a number of grammatical or spelling errors. A lack of an interview or an unreasonably high salary can all indicate a potential scam.
Knowledge of scams is power. And that's why a lot of our consumer ed says, here are the telltale signs.
If you are a victim of a fake check scam, stop all communication with the scammers and contact your bank to freeze remaining funds. You should report the scam to the FTC and notify the online job board where the scam took place. Lily Roseborough, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
In science news, the EPA recently announced efforts to roll back limits on certain PFAS, or forever chemicals, in drinking water. That's one of the topics of discussion among researchers and community advocates this week at the National PFAS Conference at the University of Arizona. Greg Haney reports.
They know better. They know better because the science has been there for many years.
Come on, they know.
They know better. They know. Let's make them do better. Thank you.
Many attendees shared concerns that federal and state regulators aren't doing enough to address PFAS contamination in the environment. PFAS chemicals have been linked to negative health outcomes, including certain cancers. Avi Carr is with the Natural Resources Defense Council.
People can take steps in their own lives to reduce exposures to some degree, but at the end of the day, when it's so widespread, we need policy solutions.
The use of firefighting foams at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base has led to groundwater contamination in Tucson. PFAS chemicals have also been detected in public water systems statewide. Participants from across the country shared similar stories from their own communities. In the last year, the EPA cut its Office of Research and Development and has proposed limiting federal protections for drinking water. Gretchen Salter is with Safer States, a collective of environmental health organizations.
So we are seeing an assault really on public health. But what's happening is that you have communities like this that are fighting back.
Greg Haney, KJZZ News, Tucson.
And this is the Stories You Don't Want to Miss podcast. In education news, a former Centennial High School student has filed a $20 million notice of claim against the Peoria Unified School District. The move is a precursor to a lawsuit. As Bridget Dowd reports, he alleges district leaders didn't protect him from sexual abuse by school employees.
Two now former teachers are accused of sexual conduct with the same teenage boy. The scandal has led to heated school board meetings, the resignation of the high school's principal, and other leadership changes. Addressing the governing board this week, Ryan LaDucer, who was supposed to be the next interim superintendent, said he was pushed out of the role. A parent recorded a video of his statement.
On Sunday, May 17th, the school district attorney, Susan Siegel, called me and threatened me that if I didn't resign and go away quietly, there would be issues.
The district says LaDucer contacted the district's attorney that day for sample language to inform the board that he would not be moving forward with the role and later sent a written withdrawal. Bridget Dowd, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
In Fronteras News, After almost a year of the U.S. banning livestock from Mexico to protect against the New World screwworm, Mexico is now blocking livestock imports from the United States. From the Fronteras desk in Hermosillo, Nina Kravinsky has more.
The move from Mexico, in coordination with USDA, comes as cases of the flesh-eating parasite continue to grow in the United States. The U.S. barred cattle from Mexico for most of the last year, as authorities in both countries worked to stop the northward spread of the New World screwworm. Now, Mexico is halting most livestock imports from the United States. It says the move will protect northern Mexican states where the parasite hasn't been reported, like the state of Sonora, south of Arizona. The ban does not include dogs, but Mexico says Mexican and U.S. authorities have agreed to strengthen inspections for companion dogs crossing from the United States into Mexico. Nina Kravinsky, KJZZ News, Hermosillo.
And finally, from KJZZ's The Show, Turkish national soccer team fans bring maximum World Cup energy to practice in Mesa. Here's co-host Mark Brody.
The 2026 World Cup gets underway on Thursday. The first game will be in Mexico City as one of the co-hosts, Mexico, takes on South Africa. Team USA has its first game on Friday against Paraguay. Last night, the Turkish national team held an open practice in Mesa, where it's been training in advance of the tournament. Turkey is in Group D with the U.S., Paraguay, and Australia. The show's Nick Sanchez went to check out last night's festivities. He's here with me in studio now to talk about it. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
So what did it look like, and maybe more interestingly, what did it sound like last night?
Well, I saw a lot of fans. I believe the official ticketed number was about 3,000.
Wow.
And you could feel that presence. There were easily 3,000, maybe a little bit more, that managed to get in, people there. So many fans wearing Turkish national team jerseys, wrapped in the Turkish flag, wearing jerseys of club teams in Turkey, of the Turkish league. I heard a DJ there playing Turkish music. There was a vendor doing like on-site screen printing of like Turkey national
wow.
team t-shirts. Yeah, it was the vibes were very high.
And as I would imagine the case, if you go to a soccer match, like the fans weren't just sitting there like talking amongst themselves, right?
No, this isn't this isn't equivalent to, I would say, American baseball culture. It's quite the opposite. So when we got into the actual practice, by the time the actual practice started, that's where you could really hear the presence of the Turkish national team fans. And actually what we're going to hear right now is a few of the chants that were happening during the practice. And what you hear there is the chanting, obviously, but also like banging on and jumping on the metal bleachers that the fans were sitting in. It was pretty raucous. And there was one chant. There's another chant, actually, for one player in particular, Arda Güler. He is a young attacking midfielder for the Turkish national team. He also plays for Real Madrid in Spain.
Okay.
Very, like, exciting young player who I think a lot of fans are excited to see at this tournament. They were chanting his name, shouting his name, and at one point during the practice session, he actually acknowledged the crowd, and they erupted.
Oh, wow.
Just, like, with a little wave. That's kind of the power of this tournament.
That's so cool. Okay, so you said 3,000, maybe a few more than that, fans who are there. Who do you talk to? Who are these folks?
Yeah, I talked to a lot of Turkey fans, Turkish-American fans in particular, a lot of them from here. And one fan told me that the feeling of having, you know, in all the towns in all the world, your favorite team, your Turkish national team is training in your backyard. She described to me the feelings that brings her.
It's a feeling you can't explain unless you feel it. The simple fact that they're going to be playing against the USA, you know, the country where I was born, against my dad's country, 6 hours away, it's amazing.
And another fan from Santan Valley told me that he's feeling a little more conflicted about the U.S. and Turkey playing against each other in the group stage. But overall, he's very optimistic.
I'm a Turkish-American, so I'm kind of sad because USA and Turkey are going to play. I am hoping they will both qualify for the next, you know, level. At least they will get out of the group stages. I think they will go all the way up to last 16, maybe quarterfinals, but at least they will come up to last 16, and then we will see there.
Now, Nick, it has been a little while since Turkey has been in the World Cup, but I would imagine they're fans of the team, pretty optimistic.
They are, yeah. This Turkey's first men's World Cup since 2002, and I spoke to one fan who remembers that.
Yes, I was in Turkey during that time. It was such a good times. We missed the number one by hair, and it was like we got the number two, but it was the best games we were playing. Yeah, this time we are going to get it.
All right, we'll see if Turkey is, in fact, going to get it. By that, I assume he means the trophy, right? The World Cup championship?
The World Cup trophy, that's right.
All right, we'll see how it plays out. KJZZ's Nick Sanchez, thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
And this has been the Stories You Don't Want to Miss podcast, made possible in part by the Katina Foundation, Bases Charter Schools, Palo Verde Generating Station, SRP, and the Virginia G. Piper Charitable Trust. Thank you for listening and for your generous support. I'm Tiara Vian. This is KJZZ. Listen more, learn more, online and on the KJZZ mobile app.